Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here on WFHR. Got your host, James J. And right now, I am joined by some of our great friends. We have some of the best people you're going to meet in Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater here with us today. We're going to talk about the Odd Couple production that is kicking off the new 2022-23 season for WRCT. I'm going to go around the room here and just have you guys introduce yourselves to kick things off. Want to start things off, Mohan?
All right. Seth Habhager. Brand new to radio, never been here before. Am I doing this right?
No, sort I'm just of, kidding. Sort of. Seth, you mind telling us your character?
Oh, I'm sorry. I am Oscar Madison.
Right on.
Okay, my name is Jim Rinker, and I am the props manager.
Thanks for being here, Jim.
Yeah, I'm Gretchen Powers, and I'm the director.
Always good to see you, Gretchen.
I'm Chris Williams, and I play the role of Murray.
Nice to have you here, Chris. Thanks for being here.
The cop.
This is what I like about this interview is oftentimes we have to kind of set up the show, let people know what to expect and those sorts of things. This show is so embedded in people's minds, in our comedic and our funny bones and everything. We don't have to necessarily get into what The Odd Couple is. Most people pretty much understand what The Odd Couple is. And with the great writing of Neil Simon, he kind of tells you in the title even what it is if you have never seen the play or the TV show or the movie. But I would like to know a little bit of your interpretation of these characters or your roles in this. And before we get diving into that too much, I want to start with you, Gretchen, and that process of, in your head, what you have when you first read the script, and then when you see the actors come out, and how much that changes and adapts to what you have in your head to what you are seeing in real time.
Well, James, you know me. I like to pretty much dig deep into all my scripts and get down to, like, the underlying backstory of each character. And actually, I think that I did a little bit more of that than expected, especially with The Odd Couple. It's a show that is very well known, but my Oscar and my Felix, I made them dig really deep to figure out what their backstory is and maybe how they came to be this way. And I think they both do a really good job of interpreting more than just the funny parts, but also the emotional parts of it. It makes them both lovable and frustrating at the same time. Similarly, I think people just imagine that there are going to be four poker players, but they all have different personalities, and they all did a fantastic job of coming up with their character and showing a nice, diverse group.
Yeah. When it comes to the way Neil Simon writes, he writes real. You know, he doesn't make superheroes. He doesn't make people without flaws. If anything, he goes out of his way to make sure that the audience sees the flaws, sees the humanity in these people. Does that make it easier to cast or a little more difficult, a little more like in place?
I think that it just makes it more interesting so that the audience continues to get drawn in. They get to see the realness of it. Mm-hmm. They get to might even be able to see themselves in it. They might even see their own flaws, but at the same time, their strengths. And when you got two characters that are like polar opposites, Oscar and Felix, they both have some things they definitely need to work on in their life, but their own strengths help each other fix their problems. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. That's a good answer. Yeah. So piggybacking off of that, you guys, the way that Simon writes these characters does write them real. They're genuine people that you feel like you know in your day-to-day life. Did that help you creating these characters, Seth, or working with Oscar? Or was it something that you found it hard to kind of put your own name on it?
You know, boy, when you have a character that's as well-known as Oscar Madison, or, you know, like you said before, you know, there was the play, then the movie, then the TV show, and you had two pretty good actors playing Oscar Madison. You had Walter Matthau and then Jack Klugman, both very good actors. Mm-hmm. But they both brought their own little thing, of course, to Oscar. But then this show has been done how many times? I mean, who knows how many times the show has been played. How can I bring something to Oscar? Well, that was one of the challenges, is like, mm-hmm. how do I bring a little something different to it? I hope I've done, you know, brought a little of myself into it as well. And, you know, I did take a few cues from Walter Matthau's performance because I really like what he did with it. And he also originated the role on Broadway. So, you know, we got to give him credit for that as well. But for the most part, you know, I just tried to see, I didn't, you know, like study, you know, any performances. I just tried to feel like, well, how would I deal with this if I am this character? And hopefully that brought a few things out from, you know, that gave it my own twist to it and everything. So I think so. I guess the audience will decide whether or not I did that, but that's what I tried to do.
They'll be able to find out tonight as you guys are hitting the stage tonight with your opening night here. I appreciate that answer, Seth, especially because part of the reason I ask is when the listeners out there, the people that are young actors, young performers or anything, hearing these things, when you get these roles, oftentimes we're our own worst enemy. And all we can see are the greats that have done this. And, well, how do I compare to that? What am I going to do? And whether you meant to or not, you kind of touched on it already. The thing I've told every student I've ever had and any actor I've ever worked with, just you being you are automatically going to make this character different than anybody's ever seen. Every one of us are different. There is not one of us in the universe that is alike. So just by that alone, your take is going to be different than Walter Matthau's or Jack Klugman's or anybody else's. And that's a fun part of this, too, because, again, this is a show that, as Seth touched on there, I mean, it's been around a long time. Almost everybody has seen some interpretation of it. With every new telling of the story, it has a different version with different actors. It's always going to be different. And it also, at the same time, keeps alive one of our greatest, if not just my opinion, America's greatest playwright and Neil Simon's work. It's so darn cool. Like, not many people are doing Oklahoma anymore. Not many people are doing, you know, there's certain shows that they kind of faded away. Maybe a grade school might do it or something, but you don't see a community theaters or a lot of other places doing some of the old style traditional shows. Neil Simon's shows stay. They're still going on. They're still being played. I think that is to be noted, but it's also really cool. It's got to be a fun way of doing this. So, Chris, same kind of question for you when it came to your character. Did it help the way that Simon writes these characters to find yourself into this person?
Yeah, it's growing up with the TV show was kind of more my big influence on it. And when I was picked for Murray, the cop, I kind of wanted to develop that character, and I kind of thought, well, who is he? What is he? Of course, he's a New York City cop, and in the 60s, and but I wanted to think, oh, okay, as a person, who he is. And if you think of New York, New York cop, that's who I wanted to be. That the audience is going to say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's a New York cop. And so it's been fun. It's been developing the character. I've really enjoyed it.
It's good to hear. Thank you for the answer, Kurt. Oh, geez. Just draw a blank. I'm so sorry.
My name's the same as yours.
Yeah,
James.
That's what I was going to say. I drew a blank. I draw a blank and immediately think, wait a minute, his name's the same as mine. Of all the names to draw a blank on. It's great to have you here, sir.
It's a pleasure.
And so I want to. You mentioned, Jim, you're in charge of props. One of the things we do whenever we talk about WRCT in any community theater is trying to not only get people to attend the show and take in your guys' great performance, but to be a part of things, whether that's on stage or off stage, working behind the scenes, or being on stage with us. So it's great to have you here and give people a little bit of a window into that world. Now, this show, on the surface, doesn't seem like a heavy prop show, but then once you read the script and you get a little bit in there, you're like, oh, wait a minute, there's this, this, and this. How has that been going for you with the props?
To be very, very honest, we got, my wife and I were co-prop managers.
Yeah.
And when we were handed the script, we kind of took a look at it and fell into a state of panic because of all of the food.
Right, right.
And I mean, there is a lot of food. You have many types of drink, food, sandwiches, a pickle. And so everything has to be in its appropriate location ahead of time. And how do you get spaghetti from the kitchen onto stage in less than 2 minutes?
It's so linguine, it Jim.
The wall.
It's linguine.
It's linguine. So it's been a real, real challenge.
Yeah. When it comes to also that part of it, especially for people that haven't done behind-the-scenes work before, have you enjoyed being a part of the show, being a part of the process without having to memorize any lines?
Yes, definitely. To be very, very frank, this is our first rodeo. This is my first anything with theater. And so to be given this and be, you know, deers with, you know, eyes in the headlights, it was a bit overwhelming. But once we got into it and started setting things up and getting to know the characters and what they want and kind of helping them, you know, with props that they needed, why it became a lot of fun. And now it's just enjoyable.
What brought you to the theater, Jim? What made you want you and your wife want to do this?
A little bit of backdrop on us is we're new to the community. I mean, we moved here in December, so we've only been here 10 months. Mm. So as newbies, you get involved in the community because that's how you're going to make friends and be involved that way. And so we're involved in a couple of things. The community theater is one of them. And the crew is phenomenal. Tim is phenomenal, who's not here, Felix. And we're all having a really, really good time. I've also done a little bit of work on building of this set. So it's just been a marvelous experience all the way around.
That's so good to hear, Jim. All of the above. First, you know, it's great to have you and your wife in the community.
Thank you. Welcome you here
and really welcome you to WRCT. You are the perfect person to talk to with so many of the things that we talk about with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. For many of us, I feel like I was raised in that theater. I know Gretchen pretty much was. There's others that are coming to the theater later, whether it's Seth and his wife Beth, who moved here a couple of years ago, or somebody like yourself, even Chris, our newer to WRCT, newish, I should say. You've been here a little bit. You guys are the greatest kind of people that we can have, because this is what makes this theater keep going, keeps it alive, and also makes it a lot of fun. Right, Gretchen?
Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that Jim and Judy are like the biggest godsend in the entire world. They're the coolest thing since double stuffed Oreos. They are so helpful. To the point where it looks like a poor divorced man living in a wreck in his house.
It's so amazing.
And then they clean it. They have intermission to snap it into like the cleanest place ever. And they do that so perfectly. They're awesome.
We have three great backstage people. It's Jim and Judy, and then my wife Beth, of course, who's also the president of the board. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's a smart man, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Got to make sure. But I have to say, they have the first act, the filthiest stage you will ever see, and it's awesome. It is so awesome. They did such a great job with that.
I'd like to go there. You guys set me up perfectly, because I did want to talk about the set with you for a little bit, Gretchen. I know, again, you and I have been doing shows at WRCT for years, quite a long time. And it seems to me, and I don't want this to sound like the set builders and the sets before were there was anything wrong with them. They were fantastic. They were some of my favorite sets I've ever been a part of. But the last two seasons, and including going into this one, it just seems like the sets are more 3D almost. They seem so much closer to the audience, so much more like to fitting modern times. It's harder than ever to get people to not just to the theater, but to movies, let alone to theater and everything. I think one of the ways you do that is by these sets, by them being more feeling engaging. And that. Are you getting the same thing? Because I saw the set a couple weeks ago when I went to see Tim, and I was blown away.
Yep. It was really awesome because I had an idea for the set, and I didn't know how we were going to do it. I talked to Pete, and I talked to Jeff, and they're like, we got this. I didn't want to spare any bit of stage, and I was really bummed that you really couldn't fit a kitchen on there, and a lot of the action that takes place in the kitchen in normal community theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, normal community theaters. They just go off stage and you hear the people talking, but I wanted people to see it because I thought mm-hmm. that you miss so much. And so I wanted a window cut out so that you could see, and then like it's a bar on the other side, and so you can actually see them kind of like being a little goofy in the kitchen or something. And I love that they were able to do that. It's really, really awesome.
When it came to, I want to give a shout out to the set builders, and certainly sounds like Jim was one of them. When it came to that vision in your head and then it coming out there, how much of it was transferable, you know, and how much of it is just, that I didn't think of. That is awesome.
Yeah, there was definitely things that I didn't think of initially. Like, I just wanted a doorway. I didn't really care what the doorway looked like or what side of the handle had to be on or anything like that, but they're like, oh, let's add a step, let's add a railing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes everything perfect. Or even just the hallway and how it gets dressed up with us what are they called? Bookcase. Mm-hmm. And sorry.
I forgot Jim's name, for God's sake. You're fine. I love that. I'm glad you mentioned that, though. It's the details, I think, is another part of it. It isn't just that the stage feels a little bit 3D-ish where it looks like a true apartment. You're so right about that. But the details that are put into these sets. And I want to give credit to the last season's shows and even before that a bit, where I've been seeing this more and more. That added detail, as a cast, we don't notice it that much, maybe, unless it's a prop that we're working with. But as a audience, you can't help but take all that in. And it doesn't distract you. It just makes you feel, it brings you in more and more. Our job is to, by the end of this show, have you convinced that these are real people, that this is a real thing you've just been watching. At the same time, we understand that there is no, people know they're watching a play. They're not going to, you know, be lost in that. That can be an advantage when you have this kind of set, when you have these kind of actors. I find it to be, at least. And I have no doubt that it will be with this show. One of the things that we build a chemistry with is our set, with the furniture we're using, the props that we're using, and those things. And then, of course, obviously, it's the people we work with. And Seth, I wanted to ask you about you and your and Tim's relationship, Oscar and Felix. That is really, all these roles are important. All these relationships are important. But you don't have a show without that dynamic. First up, I want to thank you again, just publicly one more time, for taking on this role. For the audience that doesn't know, I was originally going to do it, was not able to with some brain stuff and everything. Talking to Gretchen about it, I told her I would still do the show if I didn't want to leave you guys shorthanded. Immediately didn't care. It's like, no, you come first, James. Take care of your brain. We'll figure it out. Thank you, Gretchen, so much for that, because I still feel guilty about it, but I feel a little bit less guilty thanks to you and Seth, because knowing that Seth was taking over, personally for me, I think he's a better Oscar. I think he's going to do way better at it. And I'm not saying that to be nice. I genuinely mean that. But I also know that, oh, well, Seth and Tim have worked together before. They've got a good chemistry. Part of what I was looking forward to is Tim and I, who have worked together also, we've got the chemistry part down. How can we build it with these characters? So, Seth, how have you and Tim been able to build on your chemistry with these characters?
Well, it's, again, I think we have to go back to the writing of Neil Simon, because he wrote Felix and Oscar so well. They're such fleshed out characters. They're not just, you know, the thing is like, oh, well, we got the neat freak and the slob, right? Which is like the shorthand for it. But it's way more than that. These two characters are very, you know, they've got lots of different moods. They have lots of depth to them. So they're not cookie cutter or anything like that. That makes it really easy, first of all, for two very well written characters. But second of all, it's just, well, you kind of hit the nail on the head in there. Tim and I have worked together before, and we knew when we worked together, it's like, wow, we work together pretty well. But when you're doing two characters that are on stage a lot, and they have, you know, a lot of dialogue, just the two of them, if the chemistry is not there, then it's going to be, it may not be so good. But we knew how important it was for us to be able to interact with each other really well, you know, be right on top of each other with lines and emotions and stuff like that, because we go through basically every emotion that you could possibly go through. So, but we were very conscious of it, though. We really wanted to make sure that we were able to do that, to be able to bring it to. We knew we had something to work with, but at the same time, you still need to bring it out. You still need to work on it. You still need to bring it so everyone can see it. And I hope that's what we've done. I think we're actually in a pretty good spot with that.
I have no doubt you have. When it comes to that, I also want to give a shout out to you, Gretchen, because I know this wasn't originally your project, but you took it on and have made it your own. And that was, I noticed that in auditions right away. But this isn't something that you've had a chance to do that often. You've got a day job, you've got being a mom, all these other things. Have you been able to enjoy the process, even with the kind of rush of jumping in and all those things?
I have. I feel like I thrive off of chaos, and I enjoy flying from the one thing to the next. I went grocery shopping at 6 a.m. because I knew I wasn't going to be able to fit it in this weekend. It's just, you kind of do what you have to do in order to get the things done. And if I sat idle, I would be so bored, and I'd have no purpose in life. And my kids get to come along. My son actually came to the preview last night, and he got so mad when he saw the pickle flying across the stage and the linguine get thrown off the wall. He's
like, Murray didn't get his pickle.
He's like, were those real pickles? Was that real noodles? Those are my favorite foods. How dare they? Like, he was very mad. But it's fun having them be a part of it, even if it's just to be backstage with me.
That's wonderful to hear, though. In all seriousness, we should let people, the audience, know that no food was harmed during the filming of this production. No food was harmed.
Oh, no. It was.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. But.
I've been pretty hard on the plates, though. Yeah, I think I've broken two, so yeah.
We've broken a lot of props. Which is another reason why Jim and Judy are so glasses, amazing.
Yeah, oh, that's true. I forgot about those.
High ball glasses.
Gretchen, I want to ask you this, and Seth and Chris here, just because I know that you guys have gotten to experience this. Jim, you're getting to experience it in real time. I believe you have too, Gretchen, but I've done a show in every season, and I've gotten to experience the differences of them. Thanks to Gretchen, I got to experience a Christmas show for the first time and be a part of a holiday show for the first time, and the different monster that is. There is something to love and be invigorated by with each show, with each season, and man, they got a nice lineup this year on that main stage. But there's something, too, I always found, being the first show of the season, really kicking things off and wanting to get things started on a good note. You're the leadoff hitter, if you will, of the lineup in that. Does it feel similar to you, for you, Gretchen, when it comes to that?
I do. I've both directed and I've acted in the first show of seasons, and I think that it really brings people almost to come to audition, so they'll come watch it and they'll be like, wow, this is really cool. I'm going to come audition for the next one, in which I'm just going to do a shameless plug. I'm not directing the Christmas show, but the lovely Sue Edgren is. Come on out for Miracle on 34th Street.
Yeah. Auditions for that are Monday and Tuesday, October 17th and 18th at 6:30. Keep that in mind, everybody. Chris, how about for you?
It's just totally been a wonderful experience. The big thing I've learned is just the difference in the characters, yet they have something that bonds them together. But you all notice that, yeah, they're totally different. So it's been a great learning experience for me. Love this theater and all they've done so far, and I've heard that we're doing very well on ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So coming back from the COVID break that we had to take and everything, I think we're on our way back. Yeah. So I'm real excited about that.
It is very exciting, and we're so humbled and thankful to be able to say that. Not every community theater survived the last 3 or 4 years. The fact that we are still running, we haven't, the lights have never gone off over there. Even when there weren't shows being on, WRCT has been alive and well. It's thanks to this community we can say that. Big shout out to every single one of you, but we want more of you. We want more. We are not settling for that. So we want you to get your tickets and come to this show, support the arts, support local. Seth, when it comes to the kicking off the season, you've been a part of a couple of these now. How does it feel different for you, the different season, the different when the shows are happening? Do you like starting off the things?
I just realized that the last three shows I've done have all been the first of the season. I just totally realized that. I hadn't thought of it. But I've done shows, you know, other times of the year, February, you know, all that kind of thing. It does. I think it is, being the first show of the year, does feel a little different because, you're really starting to kick things off. And it doesn't matter if you have like a big season of six shows or two shows or whatever it is. There's something special about that first one. You know, it's the turn of the season to fall. And you want to start out strong. You really want to start out strong. So I think with not only the show that was chosen, but with the cast we have, with our director back, everyone has done a marvelous job coming together, getting this. You know, we've like you said, you know, we kind of, there was, it had its little bumps in the road, you know, to get to where we are, but we made it. And that, I think, because of some of the hardships we've had to go through, I think it's going to make it that much better.
Yeah. Well said. So they are hitting the stage tonight. Opening night is tonight at 7 over at the Centralia Center at WRCT. Go ahead and get on to WRCT.org to get your tickets, or you can get them the day of right at the front door there. Also keep in mind that if you can't make it tonight, that's all right. There are other shows for you to take in. There'll be one tomorrow at 7. Then when they come back next week, 13th, 14th, 15th, showtimes at 7. And on October 15th, that's Saturday, there will be a 7 o'clock show and a 2 o'clock matinee. Keep that in mind. Also, as Gretchen was touching on before, Miracle on 34th Street is the next production. The show must go on, as these things do. And so we're talking about one that hasn't even premiered yet, but we have to tease the one that's coming up as well, because that's theater. That's the way this thing works. As I mentioned before, auditions for Miracle on 34th Street, directed by the great Susan Egren, is Monday and Tuesday, October 17th and 18th at 6:30. Same place, going to be right there at the Centralia Center. And as we've been talking about this with Jim a little bit earlier and everything, we want you to be a part of things. We love you coming to these shows. We'd love you to be a part of them as well. So encourage you to do that, whether you feel like being on stage or not. If you've never spent a second in theater in your life, you're the perfect person. We want you here. If you've been doing this your whole life, you're the perfect person. We want you here.
I do want to make a quick mention. We do have a couple of people that, for one, Keith Schultz, one of our poker players, first time he's ever done anything on stage. First time.
Wow.
And he took the step, and he is marvelous.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He's really doing a great job. And we had Heather Sayers, our own Heather Sayers, who used to be our coworker. Again, I don't know. I think it's been a long time since she's done it. Again, wonderful. This is, and they just, because they came and auditioned. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they did. And look at that. They're having tons of fun.
And all of us can speak to this. Once you get your foot in the waters, you will not want to stop swimming. You will not want to stop. You will
it's
not.
It's like an addiction. Yeah,
it really is. It really is. I'm so excited for you guys when it comes to this show. Gretchen, is there anything we haven't touched on that you think we should get to the audience? Want to make sure to mention?
I think we did a really good job covering everything.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
No, I wanted to mention that the. When you're a part of the theater and part of the cast and even backstage or whatever, the camaraderie that you built is just fantastic, and that's what keeps me coming back.
Yeah, I never let my shows happen without people being like the best of friends.
So true. So
I force them to be happy.
So true. Again, support the arts, support local, support these guys, and enjoy yourself. It's going to be an amazing time. Bring your funny bone. Get ready to have a blast. The Odd Couple premiering tonight at the Centralia Building, right where the WRCT Theater is located. Stop on by over there, get your tickets, and enjoy the show. You guys break a leg. Have a great run. I look forward to seeing you, okay? Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back with more Morning Magazine and Mornings on WFHR right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.